Sure and glad I'm washed in the blood, born again. Amen. Jesus is my Savior. God is my Father. The Holy Spirit is my Comforter. And the Word of God is my guide. That's all I need right there. Amen. 1 Chronicles chapter 21, verse number 18. Verse number 18 for the preaching of God's Word tonight. Sure am thankful for my King James Bible. Amen. 1 Chronicles 21, verse 18. If you're there, say amen. Amen. The Bible says, "Then the angel of the Lord commanded Gad to say to David that David should go up and set up an altar unto the Lord and the threshing floor of Ornan the Jebusite. And David went up at the saying of Gad, which he spake in the name of the Lord. And Ornan turned back and saw the angel, and his four sons with him hid themselves." Now Ornan was threshing wheat. Verse 21. "And as David came to Ornan, Ornan looked and saw David, and went out to the threshing floor and bowed himself to David with his face to the ground. Then David said to Ornan, 'Grant me the place of this threshing floor, that I may build an altar therein unto the Lord. Thou shalt grant it me for the full price, that the plague may be stayed from the people.'" The Bible says in verse 23, this is our text verse tonight, "And Ornan said unto David, 'Take it to thee, and let my lord the king do that which was good, which is good in his eyes. Lo, I give thee the oxen also for burnt offerings, and the threshing instruments for wood, and the wheat for the meat offering. I give it all. I give it all.'" I want everybody to say that with me if you would. The last stanza there. "I give it all." One more time. "I give it all. Father, I thank you so much for my Bible. God, I thank you so much for writing it down for me. Lord Jesus, thank you for the potent and powerful and piercing and inspired and perfect Word of God. I don't stand upon my eloquence. I don't stand upon my last name this evening. But praise God, I can open up a Bible. I can open up the holy oracles of God that have been preserved just for no good for nothing like me. I thank you for that, Jesus. And God, I thank you so much for your Son. Thank you for sending Jesus to this world to die for me, to rise again so I can have eternal life. Lord, he walked the earth for 40 days and then he ascended into heaven with the promise to descend. And now he sits on the right hand of the Father, willing to send the Holy Spirit and apply the blood to the account of all those who repent and believe and receive the precious gift of salvation. God, I thank you for that. But Lord, tonight you have ordained this certain message for this certain group of people. And I don't know, I have no reason behind why you have chosen me. I didn't volunteer for it, but God, I'm happy to be here. And I'm so thankful for this opportunity. And Lord, I'm begging you. Oh God, I'm begging you in the name of Jesus and by the blood of Christ to please unctionize me tonight. Take me, cleanse me of my sin, empty me of myself, fill me with thy Spirit that I may preach what thus saith the Lord. Oh God, clear my mind, clear my heart. I've failed you in a thousand ways. Forgive me, Jesus. Take me as your vessel and use me tonight. Lord, I want to be a blessing to these precious people. Oh God, I pray that you'd call back the backslider tonight. I pray that you'd convict the sinner. Lord, I pray that you continue the move that you're doing around the country. God, we're in dire need of revival. Please continue being you. Father, I thank you, God, for being eternal, for being who you are, being so magnificent. Lord, your mercy endures forever. Bless your name. Help me tonight. I'll make much of you. In Jesus' name, by the blood of Jesus Christ, I pray. Amen. So King David, the best king, I could say the most famous king that Israel has ever had, is leading his people in a battle against, you guessed it, the Philistines. The Philistines have been knocking on David's door and annoying David his whole life. And he again is at battle with these Philistines. The Philistines are a type of the flesh, and you people that have actually tried, the Christians in here this evening, that have actually tried to live right, you know a little bit about that battle with the flesh. It comes, by the way, the devil doesn't play fair, does he? He comes every day wanting to pick a fight with me, wanting to pick a fight with you, wanting to steal your faith, wanting to take that foundation out from under your feet, wanting to attack you where you're strong, attack your holiness and keep you from being what God has called you
to be. And that's where David's at. These Philistines would love to do whatever they could to just take that crown right off his head and beat him to a pulp if they could. And so David is fighting these Philistines. And so David begins to lose faith. You got to understand, he's been fighting these Philistines for years. And he says, I'm going to number the people. God told David strictly, do not number the people, for you're going to rely on your numbers. You're going to rely on them instead of relying on me. David, your strength is me. What was it that you said to Goliath, David? What was it that you said when he walked up to him and defeated him and won a great victory for me? Not for you. You said, I come in the name of the Lord of hosts, right? And David went away from that here. And he began to say, Joab, go and number everybody we got. I said everybody. That's more than everybody. Go and number everybody we got. I want to see how many. Joab knows that this is not God's will. Joab, he takes 9 months and 20 some days to number these people, trying to get it in David's thick skull to not do this and to recall that order. David does it. And the Bible says that this thing displeased the Lord. I don't know if you've ever been a place as a Christian where you have displeased the Lord, but that is my least favorite place to be. In a place where I cannot lay my head on the pillow at night with peace. A place where I feel as if I cannot pray. I saw a quote, it said this, you have to pray to be holy, and you have to be holy to pray. Amen? And that's rough. When you get to that place in your life where you can't find the faith to trust God. And God is displeased with this thing. So he sends an angel to punish David. He gives David a choice. He says, David, I can give you into the hands of the natural causes of pestilence and of beast punishments, or you can be in my hand. God says, Gad, the seer, one of his prophets. Seer literally means he could see things that nobody else could see. Amen? And he says, Gad, go to David and tell David he's got 3 choices. Pestilence, famine, or to be in my hands. And I love what David says. This is in this chapter. David says, oh, that's an easy one. For this world is unmerciful. Men are unmerciful. But God will give me a second chance. And he says, oh God. He says, God, tell God that I want to be in His hands. Just put me in His hands. Because I know that He loves me so much. He won't destroy me. He'll give me a second chance. Amen. You know what God just told me sitting back there when I was trying to get His help to preach? I've been trying to get His help all day and all week. God said, you know, I'll let you preach tonight because I love you. You know, God lets me preach not as much for other people. He lets me preach for me. Amen. And God lets me preach because He loves me. I sure am glad I serve a God that has given me a second, third, fourth, and fifth chance, and He loves me. Sometimes I think about some of the stuff I did and some of the places I, things that it's just this cold and dead Christianity that I lived out as a young man. And I think, God, why in the world were you so merciful? Were you so kind to me? And I praise God that when you're in the hands of the Lord, although He has the right to squash us, He gives us a second chance. Amen? And so God does. He sends an angel, and he kills many people. By the way, God takes sin seriously. God takes iniquity serious. So David gets his punishment, but God withholds his hand. And he says, David, he says, Gad, go to David, tell David it's time to get back with me on this thing. It's been almost a year since David has built an altar. David, by the way, you know the difference between Abraham and Lot? You know what it is? An altar. That's the only difference. It's been a year, David, since you've been an altar to God. Go to Ornan the Jebusite. Perfect place for an altar. Nobody can find you out there in the country. Amen. I think God has a special blessing on the mountains. Amen. Out in the country. You can really get in contact with God out there alone. You know what we need to do? Today, everybody in this auditorium tonight needs to go home, cut Mr. Trump and Hillary off, cut the TV off, shut the door, chain the door, lock the door, get your Bible, and say, God, speak to me. I can't go another day without you. Amen. That's what God says. David, that's what you need to do, honey. Get back in touch with the one that won those victories for you. And so David is going to Ornan the Jebusite. And he comes to this man. And I commend to you Ornan the Jebusite. One of the most underrated characters in the Bible. Preacher preached this morning, simple but profound. This is a very simple thing that Ornan did, but yet very, very profound. And actually, it's very similar to what Matthew did, we read this morning. The first thing I want you to see about Ornan, if you write things down, is this. Ornan has a reverence for his ruler. Why is it that Ornan gave it all? Why is it that Ornan gave everything that he had to this king? By the way, praise God for this. God's not in the business of 10%. God's not in the business of 20%. I said God's not in the business of 10%. You think tithing means you can come to church and give your 10% and you're good, you're fine, you can just go home and you've done your part with God, right? No, no, no. God gets in your boat with you. That's what preacher preached a couple weeks ago. That's so true. God doesn't want just 10% of me. God doesn't want just 20, 30, 40, 50, 60, or 70% of me. But praise God, He wants 110% of everything I've got. He wants my mind. He wants my hands. He wants my feet. He wants my heart. He wants my ears. He wants my eyes. He wants my tongue. He wants me from my head to my toe, from the inside to the outside. God says, son, you have no choice. Give it all. Amen. I sure am thankful that I don't serve a halfsies God. He wants it all. What if Jesus got up? You know what? I'm just going to have to be blunt with you. I'm tired. I said, I'm tired. And if I'm tired, you know God's tired. And weary with 50% yellow belly, weak, anemic, mamby-pamby, good-for-nothing Christianity. I am weary with God's people, not able to put a smile on their face, not able to amen the preacher in church, not able to fill the pews at the house of God. You can give God an hour. You can give God 2 hours. You ought to give God 24 hours. He is worthy of it all. Ornan says, I ain't holding nothing back. Why? He's got, first of all, a reverence for his ruler. I want you to look at verse 20. And Ornan turned back. And he saw the angel. And his 4 sons with him hid themselves. Ornan was fresh and weak. You know what Ornan did? Ornan looked out at his own people. I said Ornan looked out at his own people that were distressed under the judgment of God. I look at an America today that is headed for judgment. You think God overlooks the blood of 50 million unborn babies? You think God overlooks the fact that they took His symbol, His rainbow that He created to be a symbol of God's grace on our White House to spit and hold their fists up to a mighty God? You think He overlooks that? The only reason this country is still running is because of the Bible Belt. Put your thumb in asphalt and draw a 500-mile radius. That is the only reason America is still functioning today. And by the way, Donald Trump is not going to do diddly squat for this country. We've got to have God. We've got to have Jesus. We've got to get back to Christianity. What was it that caused America to be suspended in time for 100 years? It was the Great Awakening and the second one. It was God. Ornan says, I give it all. Why? Look. And as David came to Ornan, Ornan looked and saw David. Oh my. Here's an old country boy. Maybe never been to the palace. I don't know. Just an old wheat thresher out with his sons. And he looks up out the window. Says, boys, look at this angel. He was aware of the state of his people. Amen. I'm afraid we've got a church full of people right now that have no idea how bad this creek is because you never go. We have no idea how bad Third Avenue is because we ain't never been there. God give us a William Booth who looked at the streets of London like God looked at the streets of London. He saw drunks. He saw poor people. He saw hurt people. And he said, God, I'll do whatever it takes to get to them. It didn't start there. You know where that started? When William Booth got saved as a 15-year-old boy, he went home, took his Bible. Guess what he wrote in front of it? God will have all. Not 50%! When I heard that, you know what I did? Hurried to my Bible and I said, I ain't much. I'm not the smartest guy in the world. I'm 5'10", 145 pounds soaking wet and full of bananas. There's not much to me. But praise God, God's going to get all 145. Amen. And maybe by the time I get done with Bible college, I'll be up around 160. If I keep eating banana pudding like we're eating. Amen. God's going to have all of me. I don't know about you. God's going to have all of me. And there's never been a man used of God. You think John the Baptist was 20%? You think Paul was 10%? I don't know about y'all. I'm tired of that. I'm tired of it. It wearies me because the devil, you know what he wants to do? He wants to get my 10% to go this way. But we only got 90 on God. He wants to get my 20 to go this way. This way. This way. Get my spiritual peripheral vision. Get me watching that box from hell too much and putting the corners of our living rooms. Get me doing this number too much. Amen? Get me caring about this too much. Get me doing this number. Amen? And sometimes doing that number and this number too much. Too much. Let me ask you something. How much of your time does God have? How much of your time does God have? Is it 30 seconds a day? Are you kidding me? Is it 10 minutes of prayer? Sometimes I pray and I think, I'm weak. God, I'm weak. Reverence for his ruler. Born and looks out his window, and here comes the man. Now you gotta understand, David always looked cool. David always walked cool. David was tough. I think about 6'3". I think he had red freckles on him, couple battle scars up here. I mean, Ornan's sons had posters of David in their bedroom. I could see Ornan's son running back to their room saying, looking at their poster, looking out the window, looking at their poster, looking out the window. Dude, that's him. We got to at least get an autograph. He's coming down our road. That's David. That's the son of Jesse, the son of Obed. That's Ruth and Boaz's great-great-grandson. That's David. That's the king. That's the man. That's the baddest dude on the planet. Look at his armor. That is the sword that he cut Goliath's head off with on the back of David. Are you kidding? Look, he still has the sling across the front. Look at that guy. Look at his horses. I have never seen horses that big in my life. Look at his slave. Have you ever seen slave girls like that? This dude is, look at him. That's the king. That's David. Let me tell you something tonight. Austin Payton could care less if you give 100% to God. I haven't come tonight to beg you to serve God. I'm done with that mess. I haven't come tonight. Austin Payton is not asking for 100%. But I'll tell you who is coming down the road of your life tonight. Who you can look out the window of your soul right now. And you can see the nail-pierced footprints of Jesus Christ coming down your coming down the road to your soul. You know what he's saying? 100%, 100%, 100%. I don't want 50, I don't want 40, but give me all that you've got. And the reason Ornan gave all of his got all that he had a reverence. He understood who was asking. The king. The king of kings is far greater than this little king. The Lord of glory is far greater than this one. Am I right about that? Well, good night. He's the master of the mighty. This king. This king's the captain of the conquerors. This king's the head of the heroes. This king's the law of the legislators. Take your Bibles if you would, just so I'm not preaching Old Testament Christianity to you. I'm preaching New Testament Christianity. Take your Bible if you would and turn to Colossians chapter 1. Colossians chapter 1. Who is it tonight? Who is it tonight that's asking you for 100%? Who's the he? In Colossians chapter 1, verse 18, Brother Paul, trying to encourage the Colossians to keep on the road that they're on. Who is this? And he is the head of the body. The church, who is the beginning. Let me ask y'all a question. How in the world do we come to church and ignore the head? What is that? It shocks me, the Christians that I know, that I've never heard the word Jesus come out of their mouth. You know what? It personally offends me because it was one, and I know I was cold and dead as a teenager because I was backslidden. But the one reason I stayed backslidden and sat on that pew that you young men are sitting on right there, right where y'all are sitting every single night and wouldn't budge and wouldn't move and wouldn't bat an eye at the preacher who stayed faithful and let God work on me is because I looked around and they didn't have nothing that the world didn't have. Dead. Look what he says. The firstborn from the dead, that in all things, in all, hold up now. Come on, Paul, are you kidding me? We're going to use this all word? You mean God wants all of me? That in all things, He might have the preeminence. Now, that's either I rejoice at that verse, Dad. That's either something you rejoice over, or it makes you a little nervous. Because God's supposed to have the preeminence. Paul says, hey, guess what? Whether you eat, or whether you drink, or whatsoever you do, do all. All. To the glory of God. Reverence for his ruler. What do you mean reverence? Look what he did. Look at verse 21. As David came to Ornan and looked and saw David, he went out to the threshing floor. What do you do? Hey, what's up, king?
You come to see me? Was Ornan trying to make an impression on David? You know what we do? We come to church. God, aren't you glad I'm here? Preacher's going to preach tonight. Preacher, you want to try to bless me if you can, preacher? God, is that what Ornan did? Ornan bowed himself before David. Ornan bowed himself.
If you have never, and I'm talking physically, gotten on your knees before God, you haven't touched 50% of what it means to be a Christian. Because as soon as you see him, your instant reaction is, oh my God. Oh, I bow myself before him. There's no question in Ornan's mind whether or not he's going to give 100. He's going to give it all. Why? He's got a reverence for his ruler. I'm afraid the reason that tonight there are people in this building that have never given everything they've got. We love to talk about how Jesus gave everything for us. How rude is it if he gave everything for us? For us to keep everything from, keep 50% from Him. What if Jesus got up one day and said, you know what, God the Father, today I'm not going to be as devoted to you as I originally was. I'm going to be about 50% Jesus today. He couldn't have dealt with Lucifer. He couldn't have healed the sick. He couldn't have cast out demons. A 50% Jesus, He was 100% God. And 100%, am I right? He was 100, you can at least nod your head. He was 100% God. He was 100% man. He had a reverence for his father. He said, I've come to do the will of my father. He was busy. You couldn't stop Jesus. He was busy. He was going. He was serving. But guess what? He had time to pray. Because he knew why he was here. For the glory of his father. He had a reverence for his own father. We ought to have a reverence for him. Amen? You ought to give it all because he is who he is. Amen? He's worthy. A reverence for him. Ornan recognizes who is asking this of him. Ornan respects who is asking this of him. I dare say tonight, this is going to sound harsh, and I'm sorry. I got to do what God told me to do. I dare say tonight, if there's somebody in this room that says, God, you ain't getting 100% of me. I think that's a sin to not give God everything you've got from what I can read in the Bible. Because if you know that you're supposed to give God everything you've got, which I knew for 15 years of backslidden filth, I knew that Jesus wanted all of me, and I didn't give it to him. To him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin. Reverence for his ruler. The next thing I see, he had a readiness, if you're taking notes, he had a readiness to react. Boy, I like God's people that are ready. You know what? Ornan didn't say, let me pray about it. No. Ornan didn't say, okay, king, I'll get back to you on that. That's what we do to God. You know what Billy Sunday said? I like this. He said, the reason you can't understand half of this book is because you're not obeying the little bit that you do understand. You got to start obeying. You got to start living it. You know what changed my life? It wasn't, hallelujah, praise the Lord. That wasn't what changed my life. I love that. That wasn't what changed my life. It wasn't a preacher getting up here and preaching with all he's got. That's not what changed my life. What changed my life was a preacher preached the word of God. He could have whispered it. And God came to me and said, son, this isn't just shouting. This isn't just 7 to 8 o'clock, 10 to 11 o'clock, 11 to 12 o'clock. This isn't just Wednesday from 7 to 8. This is every day, every hour, every second of every day, every second of every minute of every hour. This is a 24/7 thing. You pick up the trash when nobody's looking around. You say amen when you don't feel like it. You praise me because I'm all good, not because it's all good. You do what the preacher says. You humble yourself under the mighty hand of God, and you stop shouting, and you stop telling everybody what you're going to do, and you get to doing it. You dress right. You act right. You live right. You shake people's hands. You look people in the eye. You yes, sir. You know, sir. You live for me. Why? Because I have called you to give me everything you've got. You don't get on the internet late at night and look at stuff you're not supposed to look at. Why? Because I'm with you. There too. You don't date every girl coming and going that dresses like she shouldn't be dressing. If she's got tattoos, she's off limits. If she don't listen to the right kind of music, she's off limits. That's what God came to me and said. He said, son, you got to get serious about this thing. I called you to preach. You got to get serious. You going to manage heavy your way through. You know what Mr. Harvey said to me? So, Mr. Harvey, I'm called to preach. You know what he said? Work on that tough skin. Vince Havner said the key to being a preacher is getting skin as tough as a hog's and getting your heart, keeping your heart soft at the same time. It's hard to do. Only Jesus could be that tough and that tender. God wants it all. That's why I come. You know our message tonight? God wants it all. That's it. He had a readiness to react. Verse 23. Or 22, I should say. David said, Ornan, grant me the place of this threshing floor, that I may build an altar therein unto the Lord. Thou shalt grant me for the full price. Does David sound like a 50% guy to you? Uh-uh. He's going to pay all. That the plague may be stayed from the people. Ornan said to David, look at this. That the drop of a hat, without a thought, without the blink of an eye, take it to thee. Take it to thee. It was a glad day in my life, praise God, when in the mountains of Oneonta, South Carolina, in the midst of one of the worst church splits this church has ever gone through, I've heard stuff about myself, about my family, I'm just being real with y'all tonight, about my dad that I should have never heard as a 17-year-old, 18-year-old young boy that didn't know how to get out of the rain. You know what? God didn't care. You guess what? God didn't change the fact that He still wanted 100% of me. And I did not want to go to the altar. Oh, but God said go. I didn't even know why I was going. You know why? He was going to reveal it to me once I got there. He's going to leave me in the pew backslidden if I wanted to. He'll do the same thing to you tonight. I said, son, it's time. It's time. Went forward, got on my knees. I didn't, you know, guess what? You know what I did? I said, take it to thee. Just take it. Whatever I've got, take it to thee. God said, thanks. And I heard the word preach, and the rest is history. I'd hate to try to explain it away. But it wasn't, you know what, Brother Thamir, the change in my life was so drastic that I thought I got saved again. Why? Because I started actually acting like a saved person. It would do some of y'all some good tonight to decide to put some stain in your confidence and to start acting like a saved person. Stop telling everybody you're saved. God could care less what you say. He's watching what you do. He wants to see people that are alive. Christians, the world does not need a new definition of Christianity. The world needs a new demonstration of Christianity tonight. God's looking for, He's scanning the crowd for some ornaments tonight. He does it every time a preacher gets up. He's scanning. Y'all that are saved, I'm preaching to saved people tonight. He's scanning for some ornaments. Right now. Right now. That'll give it all. That are ready to react. God wants ready people. Okay, I want you to take your Bible and go to Matthew chapter, or Luke chapter 9, I should say. Luke chapter 9. Amen. I feel pretty good tonight. Luke chapter 9. Praise God for the Holy Spirit. Amen. Luke chapter 9, verse 57. Just in case y'all thought that I was saying something that Jesus didn't say, Jesus said it a lot more to the point than I can. You know what I like about the Gospels when I read Jesus? He has no problem making a point when He wants to.
Good. And sometimes I read and I go, woo! Only God could say it like that. Amen? You know what? They did the same thing. They marveled at him all the time. Boy, he ain't like the scribes. He actually says what he means and means what he says. Amen? Verse 57, it came to pass as they went in the way, a certain man said to him, Lord, here he is. Here's a lot of us tonight. I will follow thee whithersoever thou goest. What sounds real pious, doesn't it? Coming out of the mouth. This is what Jesus said to him. Foxes have holes, birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man hath not where to lay his head. He said to another, follow me. But he said, Lord, suffer me first to go and bury my father. Jesus said to him, let the dead bury their dead, but go thou and preach the kingdom of God. And another also said, Lord, I will follow thee. Let me first go bid them farewell. Look, you don't come to the Son of God and say, hey, I'm going to follow you, but first let me go do this. That's not how this thing works. Jesus doesn't take halfsies. The Bible says in Revelation chapter 2, he'd rather you be hot or that you be cold, because if you're in between, you make him want to puke. That man just there, Jesus didn't say it. He had every right to look at him and say, you make me want to puke, but you're telling me what you're going to do first. He doesn't do that, though, because he's tender. He's compassionate. He says, he gives him a good illustration to stick in his mind. That's what Jesus does. No man, having put his hand to the plow and looking back, is fit for the kingdom of God. You mean to tell me the kingdom of God is full of a bunch of people that are sold out? You better believe it. And Jesus says, you don't tell me what's first. That's not surrender. You surrender, I tell you what's first. You know what? That actually works out better for us. It works out better for me. Do you know what I was doing when God told me to give it all? I was training 6 days a week, thinking that I was going to be a mixed martial arts fighter. That's what I was doing. Austin's way is not the best way. There was times in my life where I wanted to be a pro wrestler. There were times in my life where I wanted to be a detective. Houston, like, I saw him out there, can't believe doing the headstands and weird stuff. There were times in my life where I wanted to be a detective. Where Jesus, you hold up. Do you wait? When I'm 50 or 60, then I'll give it all. But you let me have my life. You know what God did to Moses? He made Moses live 40 years in the palace. Moses spent 40 years building up his Egyptian reputation. Getting the best schooling you can get at the time. He was a war general. He forget that Moses was living out of Jackson. He was. And God says, Moses ends up on the desert. Happened in the desert. For 40 more. What do you think? Oh God, don't do that. Take a 40-year-old Moses and use him. Use him. God says, no, I got 40 years to spend on him getting ready. I really think I'm going to spend 4 years in seminary and God's going to use me. When Moses spent 40 years, we're back in the desert. You know where I need to go? The school of silence. We call it Burning Bush University, what I call it. That's where I need to go. Alone with God, so He can mold me, so He can prepare. But guess what? God never, you know what the secret of that was? You'll find it in Hebrews 11, verse 24. The Bible says Moses saw the affliction of his people and had reverence to the recompense of the reward. He saw the reproach of Christ, and he said, that's what I want. Wow. That's a man that God uses. And guess what God asked Moses for? Nothing more than what he already had. Notice, you'll find it in Exodus chapter 3. Moses, what's in your hand? That's all. You give me that rod, I'll use that rod to part the Red Sea. I'll turn that rod into a snake and eat everybody else's snakes. You give me that rod, you can smite the rock with that rod, water will gush out. You just give me what you've got, and Moses, I'll make you one of the greatest men to ever live. You know what? That's not how God did it, though. God just says, just give it to me. He didn't tell me I was going to do it, but He said, give it to me. Then you'll find out how I'm going to do it. He didn't say, Moses, I'm going to make you the biggest hero of all time. You're going to write the first 5 books of the Bible. No, Moses was signed up for that. He said, no, just give me what you got.
That's right. That's good.
He didn't say, son, I'm your old pastor, a church of 5,000, priest, you're going to have the nicest tie, you're going to go to college and meet you at Becky Townsend, you're going to be the man on campus.
That wasn't it. Your son, give me what you got.
You know the first thing I'm going to have to do as a preacher?
Change the church time to pick up trash. God, I don't know why God smiles at me sometimes in the back and says, hey boy, yeah, you humble yet? You gonna keep that macho stuff up? You gonna keep trying to stick to yourself? You still gonna do that mess? I had a good time before, I don't know about y'all. You know what I was looking for tonight? I was getting groceries in a minivan. And God stopped me. I'm serious. God stopped me and smiled at me and said, look at you, preacher. You're cool, right? You're getting groceries in a minivan. Look at these guys with big trucks, his car. You're out here in a minivan getting groceries. Look at you. I had a good time before. But guess what? I'm happier asleep than they are alive, than they are awake. I could die tonight. And honey, I'll be shouting. Just like I'm shouting tonight. I'll be, it's just an oath step. Because I'm some? Well, no. Because God said, give it here. We have a Christianity that keeps it to itself. And God says, give it to me. And your reaction is to me. Take it to me. He had a reverence towards the Lord. He had a readiness to react. That's what we need to know. I want you to go to Hebrews 11. I want to read these verses to you. I'm taking my time. I had to rush last time.
I'm taking my time tonight. Hebrews 11, verse 24 through 20, just three verses. And I want to show you the secret to the man named Moses. I want to ask you a question. The Bible, the word preeminence means first in rank. Is Jesus, Christian, is Jesus first in your life? When you get up in the morning, is the first word that comes out of your mouth, thank you, Jesus. Is He first? God help us. By faith, Moses, when he was come to years, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter. Does that sound like a 20% Christian to you? Look at this man, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. I like this. Esteeming, now the Bible breaks some boundaries right here with these words. Esteeming the reproach of Christ. How did Moses know about Christ? Hey, a little bit of inside information, I think. Esteeming the reproach of Christ, greater riches than the treasures in Egypt. For he had respect, there's some reverence, unto the recompense of the reward. Notice this, if you're going to be used of God by faith, we're going to have to forsake Egypt. You know one reason why we can't, listen to me. You know one reason why we can't give God everything? It's because 50% of us is somewhere else. We don't even have that part of us. It wasn't Moses who popped out of Egypt and popped into God. No, Moses, you have to get every ounce of you out of Egypt first. You know what I have to do? Quit listening to stuff I shouldn't be listening to. Quit looking at stuff I shouldn't be looking at. That comes along with us, for reason. Because God doesn't want you filled. You better get rid of that first, and then he'll take the rest. And buddy, he'll use it. Oh my, he'll use it. But he only uses a clean vessel. God broke my heart about the sin as a young man. About the sin. Did some get that right? Give yourself to me. That's Christianity. How have we missed that? It's so simple. How have we missed that? And I know the church has missed it today. You can see it. We're weak. The strongest church is a church that's full. Humble service. The next thing I see this is the third thing. He had a revelatory ruler. He had a readiness to react. This is this. You take notes. It's R. King Ball God. He had a relinquishing of his resources. He did not own it from God. He didn't own it in the precious book. He gave the offspring. He gave his wealth. He gave everything that he had. And then with a smile on his face, he said, I give it all. He was ready to relinquish his resources. You know what? God doesn't care how talented you are. God doesn't care how good looking you are. God only cares how much of you belongs to him. I see Jesus leaning up against the wall one day with a couple of his disciples. And he loves a cheerful giver. Amen? So he's watching these cheerful givers. Well, I wish I could have been. One day I wrote it. He's watching these cheerful givers. And a little giver woman sneaks up to the thing, puts two mice in there, puts back. And Jesus finally says something. He ain't saying anything about the Jews who came and gave Greek
pieces of gold, again, big old chest of gold. And says, look, this little widow woman with two mites, he speaks up. Says, Peter, John, fellas, see her? Yeah, Lord, see her. That's it. That woman goes home with this. Why is that, Lord? She cares what she has. Jesus got tickled. I'm going to use the word tickled. Jesus got tickled at the fact that a woman walked up there and didn't have nothing to her name, but she had enough gumption to give every ounce she had. And God said, I bless you. That's me. Did you know what God did for you? He didn't say, hey, will you go die? I hope you're sitting here what I'm saying to you. He didn't say, Michael, will you go die? He took the jewels there, his only begotten son, and he said, son, I have to give the best I can give for them. And we go through life holding back stuff from God. Relinquishing of his resources. All God wants is what you have. That's it. Isn't that simple? Guess what? I can't give what everybody else has, but I can give what I have. That's easy. But guess what? I can't give. What if the Lord doesn't have all this stuff written off somebody else? He could have gave it to the king. We've got to get out of Egypt. We've got to get out of Egypt. Amen. I'm finished, and I want to say one more thing. You know what? You read 1 Corinthians 10, Paul is trying to get the church of Corinth to understand you have to come out of that Egyptian lifestyle. You know what he says? That those children of Israel, their bodies were with God, but their hearts were in Egypt. You know what? I used to come to church, and my body was here. But my heart was back at the house on the Xbox. And my mind was in the gym and with the girlfriend. My heart was never here. I was miserable. It wasn't until the day I gave it all that peace filled my heart. I tell you a story, and I'm done. I said I'm done about six times how it works. There was a man named John Sung. If you never heard the name John Sung, look it up, read his stuff on Wikipedia. He's a Methodist, he's a Chinese Methodist preacher. I discovered some of the most spiritual preachers to ever live were Chinese. It's kind of baffling. And John Sung was a Methodist, and his dad was a Methodist pastor in China. And John Sung, they called him a little preacher because when his dad would get sick or ill or couldn't preach, he would preach. He was so smart, he was so good, he'd preach for his dad. Why didn't he call him preacher? Called him a little preacher. He goes to America and gets education. Gets a PhD in 5 years, the quickest PhD he could get. And chemistry, he's a genius. One night a preacher's preaching, and God did to him what he did to me. Hey, you might think you're spiritual because you went to church your whole life. I did sit over here a whole life. You may think you're spiritual. You may think you're something. You're holding back so much from me right now. I can't use you because so much use is in the need. You know what he did? He never bought his next stop. China's man. He gave everything he had to God. It was such a drastic, get this. This is a true story. It was such a drastic change in his life that his peers, he went up to a theological seminary in New York to get called a priest. His change was so drastic. He was so crazy about God. So, by the way, Christianity is a love affair. It's a love affair with Christ. And he was so crazy about Jesus. And so, while he preached, he'd run the road, come and he saw, hey, Jesus loved him. He got to save him, repent, believe, and receive the gift of salvation. He was so crazy, they literally thought he was crazy and sent him to an insane asylum where he lived for 153 days. The Chinese government had to come and get this little preacher out of the insane asylum. Guess what they don't leave the insane asylum? He quit. That's too much. This Jesus stuff too much. He read the Bible 40 times in 109 days. That's not stopping. That's almost impossible to do. And he discovered 8 different ways to dissect. He's getting ready. When God, he already knew where God was taking. He just was ready. He was getting ready. God told him, son, you're going to die in 15 years. Go back to China. Preach your gospel. Got married. Told his home to his wife and daughter. 15 years. Come home. And give his name. died of tuberculosis in 15 years by Father Palmer. The greatest revival that that section of the world has ever seen, you go to this day, will tell you who John Stark is. Taiwan revival. The Thailand revival. He went to places that Hudson Taylor couldn't touch, that John Gilmore couldn't touch. Old John Sloan went in there and preached Christ to the master. God used him. A regular preacher one time, there was a lady sitting on the front row who talked about John Sloan. She started crying. He comes right after her and said, "Why are you crying?" She said, "I need him." He said, "I worked with him in China." He said, "I read his biography. It seems a little exaggerated." She said, "Oh, you couldn't exaggerate this one. You couldn't. Why? Because he's smart. Because he's handsome, little 5'6", kind of easy to pick up." He just gave it all to God. And God said, "I'll do it." You read church history, you read the Bible, you ain't gonna find 70%, 50%, 80%. You ain't gonna find 95%. You'll find 110%. Hey, the God, I'm close. Father, I thank you so much for your word. Lord, I thank you for who you are.
I thank you, God, that you not only save us and set us on the right path, but God, you give us a motivation and you give us a reason to live, and it's for you. Everything we got for you. Lord, I don't know what some people are going through in here tonight. I don't know why you wanted me to preach that. But I pray that your Holy Spirit would just speak to hearts. Maybe there's someone in here tonight that was discouraged, that was about to quit on God, that was about to maybe just stop, or was about to just say, "You know what? I'm done." Holy Spirit of God, encourage that heart and say, "Just give me all you've got." I'd like for you to raise a hand if the Lord spoke to you. I just want to pray for you. Nobody looking around? Say, "The Lord spoke to my heart tonight." Just lift it up big and high. God's been speaking to my heart. Amen. Hands all over the building. I'll pray for you. Maybe there's someone in here tonight.